My mother-in-law, in her infinite wisdom, asked us to share something that we could take away from that trip. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to share that with you right now. One thing that stands out is that we could travel halfway around this world and we could meet with brothers and sisters in Christ and see the love for God that they have and the love for one another, and that we could participate in a worship service that is so similar to what we do today, so much so that my young daughter, in her infinite wisdom, says, "Man, it's just like back home." And I said, "That's right. God gave us this. He designed it that way so that we might all come to Him, that we might repent, that we might spend eternity with all those people." And you rapidly discover that you're just a speck on a speck. And I can tell you what a truly amazing experience. I'm completely thankful for that. It just further cements the greatness of our Lord. John 18, 28 through 37. Then they led Jesus from Caiaphas to the Praetorium, and it was early morning. But they themselves did not go into the Praetorium, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat Passover. Pilate then went out to them and said, "What accusation do you bring against this man?" They answered to him and said, "If he were not an evildoer, we would not have delivered him up unto you." Then Pilate said to them, "You take him and judge him according to your law." Therefore the Jews said to him, "It is not lawful for us to put anyone to death," that the saying of Jesus might be fulfilled, which he spoke, signifying by what death he would die. Then Pilate entered the Praetorium again, called Jesus, and said to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Jesus answered him, "Are you speaking for yourself on this, or did others tell you this about me?" Pilate answered, "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here." Pilate therefore said to him, "Are you a king then?" Jesus answered, "You rightly say that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice."
It was Blue Book, right, Dan?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you, Mike, for reading that. Good morning, everyone. Well, I know this is supposed to be Happy Father's Day, so I don't want to be too much of a downer on that, but what I'd like to talk to you about a little bit this morning is something that I personally find disturbing, a trend that is going on through the world, not just in the United States, but throughout the world that just bothers me. It's a trend that's been going on really for centuries in some aspects, especially in the religious, so-called religious community. But today it seems to be rampant in society, wherever you may look. And particularly, it's made a particularly insidious invasion into what's commonly known as the hard sciences, not the social sciences, but the hard sciences, biology, chemistry, etc., things like that. Fields of study where research and testing for results used to be the norm. Results were provable. Results were verifiable. And it's not so much that way anymore today. In my opinion, I'm saying this. Even up until the 1960s, as used to be said, when something appeared in print in a newspaper, well, it must be true because it's in the newspaper. And as the technology advanced, we got television. And I was talking to Mary and Sheila on the way in. I said, "Do you remember Walter Cronkite?" They go, "Yeah, I remember that guy." Well, he was the anchor for you younger folks. He was the anchor for CBS News for a long time. And he was also known as the most trusted man in America. And his closing line after every newscast was, "And that's the way it is." And that's the way it was, is what people thought. Along comes the Internet. And now, as we know, Everything we see on the internet is true. Everything is true that we see on the internet. Well, not so much. Maybe it's true, 98% true. 95%. We want it to be true sometimes. We think it's true, but on further investigation, we find it indeed to be false. The disturbing trend I see today is that one merely needs to just think it, whatever that it might be. They just need to think it, or they just need to say it, and it's the truth. No verifiable truth is needed. No questioning the viewpoint. It is true. It's simply the way it is. Any questioning of the position that these people take is quickly demonized in ad hominem personal attacks. It's the method. You are now able to create out of thin air your own truth. I can self-identify myself as any race or as any gender I want right now, despite obvious signs that I am not what I may claim to be. What does this create? Well, it creates chaos. It creates confusion. Confusion now abounds in what is right, what is wrong. What is this? What is that? Black is white. White is black. Chaos rules over reason. Where does this come from? Where does this line of thinking come from? Well, obviously it does not come from the God, Lord God Almighty, because in 1 Corinthians 14 and 33, he says he is not the author of confusion. So where does this come from? Obviously, it comes from the wisdom of man, whose source is the father of lies. It is the wisdom of man who looks upon God's grace that Zach spoke about last week. And the program of not the program, but the plan of salvation as foolishness. But to those who us who are being saved, it is the power of God. It's on the front of the program today, 1 Corinthians 1 and 18, one of my favorite all-time verses. I think about that a lot. Thank you, Nancy Didion, for doing that. But in that verse, there's two diametrically opposed positions, point of views there that are they're at loggerheads because they contradict each other. Which one is right? Which one is correct? The passage that Mike read for us today in 2 John 18 illustrates that point as well, too. It's hard to say what was going through Pilate's mind when that event occurred. We don't know for sure. It's not described. But maybe it was that worldly point of view that permeated his body in the Roman life and in that time of day. But what caused him to ask Jesus, what is truth? In verse 38. One of the all-time great questions. What I do know is that Pilate had in front of him the perfect man to ask, what is truth? A lifetime opportunity to get the truth from the one person who could truly answer that. Is it a question that you have asked yourself sometimes? Is this true? Is this truth? What is truth? Maybe not in the manner that Pilate did it, or in that tenor, but in substance. And perhaps you and I have myself asked, what is truth? How do we recognize the truth? Among all the misinformation that's out there, how do we recognize truth from outright lies? And here's what really bothers me about this trend is, like, I don't like being lied to. I don't like being misled. And I'm sure it's the majority opinion of all you out there. Nobody likes that. I hate it when somebody lies to me. I believe what this congregation here at Smart Road and the congregation that you may be from, what we do here is to seek out the truth. from what God's Word says. And I would hope that you are of that mindset too. If you're here, you are willingly looking to find out what the truth is. You are seekers of the truth. So as we study God's Word together, we find that truth, wherever that truth may lie, so that we more fully may understand the will of God and His plan for us. Why do we need to do that? What value is that to us? Well, there's great benefit in knowing the truth, because just the opposite, we get the opposite reaction. Now we know the truth. We also know what is a lie. We're able to separate the difference. We're able to differentiate the difference between truth and lie. We have discernment on that issue. That discernment will lead us not to be so easily deceived the next time things become just a little cloudy, just a little gray, not so much black and white anymore. But we have now the wisdom and the understanding to discern truth from lies and right from wrong. 1 John, the 4th chapter, the first 6 verses. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God, and every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come from the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and now is already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he is in you. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. They are of the world, therefore they speak of the world as of the world, and the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. John writes that you and me and each one of us here that are of God are not of the world. We are told to test the spirits to see if they are of God, to recognize and know the difference of the spirit of truth from the spirit of error. 1 John, the 2nd chapter, 21st verse, he writes this, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and no lie is of the truth. And this passage was not written to those in the world. This passage was written to those who are of God. Not to those who have seen this as a foolish action, a whole bunch of foolishness, because they don't care about the truth. They don't care about the truth. They have other agendas to pursue. I know I certainly didn't care about that when I was eyeball deep in the world. I looked for truth in a bottle. I looked for truth in drugs. I looked for truth in a night of pleasure. And I never, ever found it. I never ever found it because it's not there. It never was there. It never will be there. It's a lie. It's all lies. But here's the deal. Maybe I'm just different this way. Because I didn't know it was a lie. Because I didn't know what the truth was. So I was ignorant. It's not an excuse. It's just the way it was. You and me and we that claim to be of God's children are supposed to know the truth. We're supposed to know the truth. It's our duty. It is commanded that it is our duty to know the truth, to rightly divide the word, 2 Timothy 2 and 15, to be like the Berean brothers who studied daily to see if what Paul had told them was true, Acts 17 and 10. Have you ever left a service thinking, that guy who was up there speaking, that didn't sound quite right. Something about that kind of bothered me. And I need to go home and study about this to see if what he said was true. I've done that a couple times, but, you know, sometimes things get in the way and I just kind of blow it off and I forget about it in a day, to my shame. By knowing the truth, we have a baseline to go back to, an unchanging starting point to reference back to so that we can compare things against that baseline to see if it's true or false. By knowing the truth, what truth is and what is not, we can apply that truth to our decision-making to allow us to make good decisions, for us to possess that desire to choose to live in a manner that is pleasing to God and not displeasing to God. The Apostle John rejoiced with the news that believers were walking in the truth, as he wrote in the first chapter of John 3. I won't bother to read that. But these beloved children John writes about continue to do the things that John had taught him to do, the things that he had learned from Jesus himself. They continued on doing that, and that gave John great pleasure. If we walk in the light, if we walk in the truth, we have fellowship with Christ. And by having fellowship with Christ, we too can and should become men and women of truth, all to the glory of God. Not to our glory, but to the glory of God. John 7 and 18, Scripture says this: He who speaks on his own does so to gain honor for himself, but he who works for the honor of the one who sent him is a man of truth. There is nothing false about him. Being humble servants, so that God always gets the glory. As promised, the Holy Spirit came and helped all the apostles in this matter, and continue to help us in the matter as well. John 16 and 13. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you in all truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. And indeed, the apostles listened to the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. John 14 and 17. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you. And will be in you. That's the difference between those who are in the world and those who are of God. The Spirit of truth dwells within us. What a huge advantage that is over those in the world. What a great honor that is that the Lord God would say, I'll send you my Spirit of truth. It's not used to gain honor for ourselves, but it's not to make us look good, but let it be used to know the glory of God, to be that lamp unto darkness, spreading it wherever we go. For that is our job. Back to Pilate's question. You know, if I'm looking for somebody to give me some advice on corporate mergers or something like that, I'm not going to ask Charlie Mallett. He's not the guy to go to for that. And I'm not the guy you're going to ask where to get the best manicure in town. It just doesn't work like that. That's the most of two absurd ideas I can think of, you know. Now, where do we go to when we're looking for good advice? We go to the authority on whatever matter we're looking at to get the best information, to get the most accurate information, the one with the most experience, the most knowledge. We look for the primary source so that we may get good advice. John 1 and 17, for the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. John 14 and 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Even the Pharisees, who didn't like Jesus very much, recognize that Jesus was telling the truth when he spoke in Matthew, the 22nd chapter, the 15th and 16th verse. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. And they said to him, their disciples and the Herodians, saying, "Teacher," speaking of Jesus, "we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth. Nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men." Pilate's got the perfect guy in front of him to ask, what is truth? The problem was, he didn't stick around for the answer, did he? No, he went out and he told Jews, "I find no fault in this man." He left before he got the answer. He walked away. You remember the movie A Few Good Men, where, not Ted Cruz, but Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson. Tom Cruise is a JAG for Navy, I think. Paul, is that right? Yeah. And he's questioning Jack Nicholson on the stand. And they're talking about the truth. And Cruise is saying, "I want the truth." And it's like, "You want answers?" And Jack Nicholson finally says, yells at him. He goes, "You can't handle the truth. You can't handle the truth." Randy talked a little bit about that today. Can't handle the truth. Maybe Pilate couldn't handle the truth. Sometimes the truth is hard to swallow. We read in Acts 24 and 25 how Felix became afraid as Paul preached reasoned truth to him. Reasoned truth. Sometimes the truth makes us afraid because we look into that mirror and we see ourselves looking back. We realize what we are. If we're honest and truthful with ourselves, we have to face up to the fact that we're just sinners. We're not as perfect as sometimes we think we are. We have flaws, and sometimes the things of this world do get in the way. And we get distracted from walking on the path of truth. We're sinners. Sometimes I just can't handle the truth. Some days are better than others. God is actively seeking out men and women who will worship Him in truth and spirit. John 4, 23 and 24. But both of those have to have truth as the baseline. For if we don't, we end up like those Galatian brothers who followed a different gospel that was no gospel at all. A perverted gospel, Paul writes. The gospel was not revealed, not by man, but by revelation of Jesus Christ to men. Truth was revealed by Jesus Christ and none other. John and the other apostles and the men that came after them and the men that came after those men up to this present time, and until the end of time, those were and are men wanting to share the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. To all those who desire to know what the unchanged, pure truth is. By knowing that truth, as he said, the truth will set them free in John 8 and 32. It is the truth that sets men free from uncertainty and doubt. Sets men separate from the things that provide no answers. Sets men free from the lies that ensnare and deceive them, that rob them of the grace and the mercy that God freely offers to each one of us. Men have come and will continue to come until the end of time to steal souls away from the truth. 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3. "But there are also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who brought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you. With deceptive words, for a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. Excuse me. It's our duty, as men up here and as women wherever we go, to preach the truth as brought forth by Jesus Christ and the apostles and given to us by the Holy Spirit. We have right here God's holy word, the book of truth. It's our duty to, an obligation to rescue, restore brothers and sisters who wander away from the truth as well. James 5 and 19 and 20. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders away from the truth and someone turns them back, let them know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Rejoice in the truth. It's the will of God. The truth is right there in your lap. Or on the seat next to you. Learn the truth. Be wise unto salvation, which is in Christ Jesus. It's our duty. It's your salvation. It's your eternal life that it hangs in the balance of that. Gary talked about Ezekiel. We were studying Ezekiel in the upstairs class, adult class this morning. And accurately said that Ezekiel was sent as a watchman to Israel to warn them of the impending doom that was coming, to maybe save them from destruction. We are like watchmen as well, to warn those who are lost, that they are indeed lost. If you were like me and didn't know you were lost, we're telling you, you're lost. God will give his invitation to be saved from that lost, being lost. We sang this morning, I once was lost, but now I am found. And that's the will of God, that none should perish, that all should come to repentance. So we'll extend God's invitation for you to take advantage of that right now. If there's anything this congregation can do to help you with any problems you have, if you need prayer requests, you need some study, come forward. Take advantage of the situation. Today is the day of salvation as we stand and sing.